Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Derrimple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, cooking, swimming, and mutiny. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
And work experience's very own Emma Draper.
Hi.
How are we all, guys? Sam, good week?
Yeah.
A momentary think then.
Yeah, I was just thinking what would happen this week. I thought, yeah, you know, on balance, it's probably been a good week.
On balance, good week.
Yeah.
Okay. Katie, good week?
Yeah, it's fine. Nothing special. Just like a 7 out of 10. Not bad.
Seven,
not great.
Obviously, I had Bank Holiday Monday off. Obviously, me and Sam were in the office. Oh, you weren't?
I was working.
Oh, you were
working from home.
Yeah, you were doing the bills, weren't
bills,
you?
Bills, yeah.
And you have Friday off?
I did. And
anything interesting happened over the Supermax weekend? Did you do anything over the Supermax weekend? No. Are you right?
No.
Okay.
It's a podcast, Katie. You can't just shake your head. It's audio.
Okay.
Have you got an alibi or something that we need to ask about?
No.
She seemed very certain that you did nothing. You did absolutely nothing at all.
Did something really dodgy happen over the week that, who knows?
Katie killed someone. We have no evidence for that. But it's what I'm going with.
Emma, how your second week of work experience, how's it been?
It's been really, really fun. I've really enjoyed it. It's great.
What was your highlight of the week?
Oh, my highlight of the week. I actually don't know, you know. I really enjoyed it all. Oh, the Vox Pop. I really enjoyed doing that.
You're doing a really good Vox Pop.
Very good at doing that.
Well, you went out and asked what people's signature dishes were, for me to say. So, I've obviously just put that on the page in the examiner, so if you want to read about it, please do. But I saw someone said jam on toast.
Oh, my God. That is a story in itself. So, me and Dave, we needed another couple to do, because that's...
Yeah.
We have two couples on the page. And we bumped into this really young couple, and we were like, oh, hi. And they were like, yeah, we're sure. We'll answer the question. I was like, cool. And they blessed them. We obviously intruded on their day, and they weren't... You know when you had to try and ask questions so they could prompt an answer? And I went to turn to the boyfriend, and I was like, what did you have for tea? Do you know what I had for tea tonight? And he's like, no. I was like, do you know what you had for tea last night? And he just straight up went, I had jam on toast for tea. And it was just the funniest thing ever.
Have you ever had jam on toast for tea, Tom?
Oh, well, some of us haven't lived. I believe I once tried blackcurrant jam on toast.
For tea? As your main meal of the day?
No, I don't think for tea. It may have been for a quick lunch, but I don't think for tea. I mean, you got to get the beans if you're having toast out. You know, if you're having toast for tea, you got to get the beans out. Or at the very least, the spaghetti hoops.
I quite like super noodles on toast. But anyway, we're going to discuss more about that in a bit. We must just point out now, it's producer Emma's last podcast, the lady that takes out our coughs, farts, and other unexplainable noises. She's leaving for Pastures New, so the podcast will sound even rougher in the next few weeks. So obviously she never speaks. So I'd say at this point we could insert a highlights reel, but there's probably only been... Has she ever spoken on a podcast?
Sometimes you get an occasional giggle heard in the background.
Yes, but aside from that...
No, she doesn't speak.
I think the Christmas ones, you might have heard her like knocking her drinks over.
Yeah, the infamous Christmas special. But yes, it is her last producing this one. So if she's probably started drinking already, to be honest. If it is a bit rough and around the edges, it's because of that fact. Right, lots to discuss this week, as highlighted already. We've already spoken about it a little bit, Emma, about the Ready Steady Cook contest. Oh, actually, Sam, you're doing this story. Sorry,
yeah. I was going to say I know nothing about the second.
Yeah. So this is the Food and Drink Festival is coming up in a couple of weeks' time, 19th to 20th September in the Villa Marina Gardens, as always.
They're having a contest. You're going to get... Well, so it's Martin Perkins, Rob Callister and Jeffrey Brute.
Yes.
Who are all taking part.
Tilbury is host.
Of course, she's...
The hostess with the mostest.
Yeah, she's going to be Ainsley Harriet for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Ainsley Harriet, right. So,
Don Tilbury, Ainsley Harriet.
Yeah, same person. Yeah. Never seen them in the same room.
Exactly. Good fair point.
So, basically, they're making baked Alaska, which I thought was a bit of a weird thing to go on Ready Steady Cook for.
It's a dessert, isn't it, baked Alaska?
Yeah, I don't know what goes
in. Did you watch the Great British Bake Off episode when there was that whole controversy?
Is this the one where the guy took it out of
the
fridge?
Yeah, right, no. Okay. And it was the lady called Diana. She opened the fridge and something happened and she stole somebody's ice cream or made it melt, and then the guy whose ice cream had melted meant he couldn't bake his Bake Alaska, so he stuck it all in the bin, realised he had nothing to present, so presented the bin to Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry.
Wow.
I mean, so, as long as that doesn't happen, then it's
quite literally a meltdown.
I mean, it's sort of, yeah, obviously there's a few jokes flying around, what would have been the best thing for them to have done.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of partridges were suggested.
Yes, but they actually, so they've got Baked Alaska, but in the Food and Farming pages this week, it was why we went around and asked the Great Manx public what their favourite signature dishes were. They've revealed what their go-to dish is, isn't it?
Mm.
And it was quite interesting answers, I found.
Yeah, well, I think it was it Martin Perkins who he sort of... His started off with sort of like, was it oysters he had to begin with?
I can't
some remember. Sort of
it was
seafood.
Very
And it
I
went
was very
through
impressed.
And he had steak and he had onion rings and he also... I could just see him with like his big like chef, like Swedish style chef's hat on
yeah.
and the Muppets going... making his dinners. Oh, no, it was shrimp on the barbie, that was his.
Right.
His was shrimp on the barbie, that was
a neighbour special.
Yeah. So... And Rob Carlos, his was steak.
I thought his was the steak and,
his
onion,
was steak.
And the onion rings and the chips
and
the mushrooms.
Jeff Root was cabbage from his garden.
Right,
yeah. Just cabbage.
No, there was a lot
there
of
stuff. There was like a bunch of other stuff. It was like chicken as well, wasn't it? It was like
yeah.
something like that.
But yeah, so there was a great graphic that Grace had done to accompany this, the three of the Mouse cartoon chefs, which I thought worked very well. But if you want to find out what their signature dishes are, and how, and then we'll... They get, when's it? The 19th, 20th, isn't it? A couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, they do it on the Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon, I'm sure it'll be well worth watching. Next news story, Emma, is the one you did about St. Ninian's teacher Carol Laporte.
Yeah.
She swam around the Isle of Man.
She did, honestly.
Now, I think we should say she didn't just did it non stop because I think that would have been. Because it's something like. How many kilometres was it?
122. So she swam 122 kilometres around the island. I mean, honestly, I couldn't even swim like one.
Which
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
which I think is incredible. I couldn't even swim one, never mind 122.
Yeah.
So she didn't do it continuously because she had to stop because there were two storms. Storm Ellen and the other one.
What was the other one called? I did the weather thing this week. Ellen and... Oh, I've forgotten. Is it go with F? Is it Francis?
No, Francis was last year, wasn't it?
Anyway, there were two named storms.
Yeah.
She had to negotiate.
Stop. Yeah. So she ended up doing the entire thing in 17 days. Like, if you take the day she swam, it was 17 days.
How many hours did she...
29 hours and 25 minutes.
Oh, which...
Wow. Broke the original record. So she was trying to beat this record set by a Swedish lady.
Yeah.
Who is her best friend, I think.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that's what she was telling me on the phone. By just over 6 hours.
That's some going, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sam, you look like you've got a question.
And you're trying to process that.
Who... checks the stopwatch.
Who checked? Norris McGuire from
the
Guinness Records.
So she swam with a...
I'm joking.
But I just wondered, like, you know, what... So
no, but she swam with, like, you know, like that watch that Andy's wearing.
Strawberry.
She'll
have a
Garmin on.
She'll
have, like, a little watch on.
Yeah, but she pressed and she goes in and she comes out. Or,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of trust goes into this record.
But she's done it by 7 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And she was doing it with kayakers as well, so I'd assume they were keeping time too.
Well, they're just cheating. They're just going along.
Oh, my God. Are you trying to take away this woman's achievement, Sam? Could you swim round the island in 17?
I could do. I don't want to, but I could do.
You reckon you could?
Yeah, I could. Of course, everybody could.
Swim round the
island in 17 days.
Well, in 17 days, probably
29 hours, exactly.
I'm not saying when I could do it. I'm saying I could do it.
I think this is a challenge that we need to make happen.
I think 100% this is a challenge that you guys need to make.
What's the
we'll
furthest...
all be there to keep time.
What certificate?
Just to make sure.
Did you get at swimming at school?
Blue.
Blue.
You are joking.
That's
the second
one.
Yeah.
And you reckon that qualifies you to swim around the Isle of Man?
Yeah.
Right.
The patriarchy did a good job on you, didn't they?
Yeah.
Look, I'm thinking about one way or the other. Either I break a record, or you get a very tragic front page.
Good for newspaper sales.
Exactly.
But not really, because then we've lost half of a reporting team.
That's a good point. If Adrian's off that week, we've got Duncan trying to work a business angle into it.
Yeah. Sponsored by Mexi-Man. Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
But the fun thing about her swim was that, obviously it's incredible what she did, but the first person who swam around the island was the same woman that was the first woman to swim the English Channel.
Oh, wow. What was her name? Mercedes.
Mercedes Glitz.
When did she do that?
I said that 1930. I know. Can you imagine the summer costumes they were wearing in 1930?
But actually, so there's only ever been four people that have done it, isn't it? And so three of them were ladies. And then there was the guy, Mike Davies, last year or the year before.
Like that.
So that was last year, yeah. We interviewed him.
Yeah.
But he did it in a wetsuit, which apparently doesn't count. Because apparently if you do it in a wetsuit, that gives you extra buoyancy and aid. I think
it counts. It definitely counts.
No.
Is that just because you're not brave enough to do it in a pair of swimmer trunks?
What would you wear to do it?
Speedos.
Probably like Speedos and pair of Doc Martens.
Would you bick your chest and stuff?
What drawer are you going to put duck fat on? Actually, duck fat would make sense. What are you going to bick? The razor.
To make you streamlined for the water.
Oh no, God. I think I'd probably want the extra warmth.
It would hold you down.
That's a good point. Would you not maybe get like the cream stuff that you shower off?
Hair removal cream. You see
the ladies on the
other side. Hair removal cream. You'll smell very floral for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, it depends where he swims, but maybe not. So there was loads more on that story in the Independent this week and in the Examiner. We had loads of pictures of David Downsina where she finished in the Arbol, as you said, Emma.
Yeah, with a little cake, which is honestly amazing.
Yeah. Is that Sam? You sort of noted the cake, didn't you?
What, the one that looked like a drowning?
No,
the seals had come out to mourn.
There was actually a seal that followed her for 10 minutes. And they're actually, and I googled, the seals are actually really aggressive if you annoy them.
Not Manx seals. They're polite.
are you saying that? Because when you have to do this, you have to see them.
What if they hear about this and goes back to them?
They'll just come at you.
Exactly. We all know seals are the dogs of the ocean. They'll be fine.
Okay. Right, so yeah, that was the Carol Laporte, the St. Ian's language teacher who swam around the Isle of Man. Obviously, the story that you all want to hear about is when Sam does it, so we'll have to try and get that in the calendar sooner rather than later as the winter is coming. Or do you fancy doing it in the winter?
Well, I suppose that could go one of two ways.
I mean, you've got nothing to lose if you do it in the winter.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be
cold. It'd be a bit cold, I imagine. Because I've seen people do the New Year's dip and they never look like they're enjoying themselves.
Well, maybe you could do that, just get in at one of the dips and not get back out. Just keep going around.
In fancy dress.
You know how you got to swim it?
Do you know how you could do it in fancy dress?
No, that's just silly. Do you reckon I could use one of them, you know, them floats that they use at like school, where like you put it on the front and then you kick with your legs?
I'm guessing as you only got blue, that was the last level.
I'm guessing he's going to be an armband doing this as well.
The artwork for this week's podcast has already just been cast, hasn't it?
Yeah.
No more right. Right, moving
Salmon
on.
And a rubber ring.
To this week's sports story. The story is there was 10 pages of sport in the Manx Independent this week. Absolute smorgasbord of activity. And there was motor racing, there was fell running, there was hockey, there was football, there was cycling.
It's easy to ask what wasn't there.
Exactly, Emmett. That's the question. What sport wasn't in the Indy?
Tobogganing.
Yes. Okay.
skiing, maybe.
Okay. All right. But my point is,
lacrosse.
If you're a Manx sports fan,
snowboarding.
Get the Manx Independent because there's absolutely shed load of sport in it. So you can get that online, can't you, Katie? At iamtoday.co.im.
Yep. And click on digital editions. And also in this week's Manx Independent is the winners of this year's design and ad competition.
Oh yes. Always
so
good,
you have a lot of pages of advertisements that have been drawn by school children around the island.
Aww. They've done a good job, haven't they?
Some are brilliant.
Yeah, they are really good. So that was in the Independent as well this week, which is available for £1 if you buy it online.
It is indeed.
But if you pop into the
It's available for even less if you buy it as part of a half year or 1 year bundle.
Oh, we love a bundle, don't we? You might need a few to keep you up.
I could use them as like a bit of, you know, because you know when you like you come out of ice water, you're meant to get in snow and roll around.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't snow much here. So maybe the courier, if I like, got out the sea and I was cold, I could wrap myself in the courier.
My worry is, she's banging on about your Round Island effort, but having seen you, the pictures of you doing the Tim Baths last year in the snake race, you didn't exactly look at home in the water.
Yeah. And that was a beautiful, sunny, warm day.
But I mean...
in the harbour.
I was being held back by five or six other people, despite what the commentator and the thousands of people in attendance thought they saw. I was actually the driving force of that team.
Are you saying that to make yourself feel a bit better?
No, I'm just saying that the video that everyone watched online was a lie.
A lie. Right, this week in history time, Sam, and we go to the Mona's Herald front page of Tuesday, the 9th of September, 1952. Main story is about the new governor.
Yeah, well, the new governor's taken the oath. However, to be honest, it was the subhead that sort of caught my eye, because I hadn't actually seen the punctuation. So I thought it read, impressive swearing and ceremony. So I thought the governor just got up there.
And started effing and jeffing.
Yeah. It turns out he hadn't. Yeah. It was impressive swearing in ceremony because of Russian. So slight disappointment on this one, to be honest.
So it was Sir Ambrose.
I was going to say, can we just note the Lieutenant Governor's name?
Yes.
Sir Ambrose Dundas Flux Dundas. I mean, does he want some
so
more
good
names?
They named him twice.
Yeah.
That's an amazing. He's accompanied by Lady Dundas and their daughter, not given a name,
yeah,
at Ronald's Way on Saturday, where they were greeted by His Honour Sir Percy W. Cowley.
See, he needs to get on Sir Ambrose's level with names.
Yeah. Mm. So, Ambrose Dundas Flux Dundas. Did you look into his record as Isle of Man Governor, Sam, when you were doing your research?
No.
No. I'm sure, though, there's a man that will have.
Oh, yeah.
That's Mr. John Watterson, who writes the commentary that is, will be joining this very front page in the Isle of Man Examiner next week. As always, the page that features in our podcast This Week in History then makes it into the Examiner the following week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So what else caught your eye this week, Sam?
Well, there's a few bits and pieces, really. I did quite like the Stock Taking Bargains advert, which sort of caught me out a little bit, because I wasn't sure whether it was... So it's free cake stands, right? Now, is this free cake stands, as in stands for cakes, or is it free stands of cake?
Is this like the four candles?
The four candles, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure, because you can also get white enamel buckets.
Are
again,
they empty?
Exactly. Is it a bucket of white enamel, or is it a bucket of which you would put your white enamel in?
What would
or
you need?
Is it a bucket that's been painted in white enamel, or coated in white enamel?
What would you use white enamel for?
Well, what is it?
Well, clearly they're doing something with it, because they're selling it at 5 shillings and 11 pence.
But, well, if you do know, please do get in touch at IOM News Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Any other stories catch your eye?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. There was the Borden House licence holder find. So this was a bit of a weird one where Harold Brandwood, who was the holder of the short-term boarding house licence for Cliffview Palace Terrace, he was fined £3 for breaching conditions of his licence by permitting two people who were not residents to consume, this is what I liked, intoxicating liquor on his premises. Not even alcohol, no, it was intoxicating liquor. So yeah, he basically allowed a couple of lads in who didn't actually reside at the boarding house,
right?
Which was a big no-no. Okay. So he was fined the pricely sum of £3, but then it says the two strangers were real offenders. So it's sort of like a weird one where they've gone, yeah, look, you shouldn't have done this, but it's not necessarily your fault.
Anything catch your eye, Katie, on the front page this week? The adverts for in the top, there's no Sefton.
There's no Sefton, so I'm very distressed automatically.
Oh,
it's a change of routine
it's
for me.
Be okay. Mm. Okay, we're going to get through this.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, but there is a nice picture of a cow.
Yeah, it is. It's. What on earth does that say?
Ellerslie Farms.
I read that as arrested, not attested. I'm sorry. I thought there was something very wrong with the cow and the milk cream.
Yeah. Howard Street, Douglas. Fresh cream from. Tuberculin?
Tuberculin.
Tested Ayrshires. Well, Ayrshires is a type of cow, obviously, but there you go. Wool, what's the top right? Wool Union Children's Hooded Garment. Garbadines?
What's a garbadine?
Were we meant to Google this a few weeks ago?
Right.
Or ask Jeeves about it, sorry.
And we didn't.
No.
Oh.
So none of us know what a garbadine is.
Do you want me to Google it now?
Well, talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, go on, Emma.
Okay.
A garbadine. What do you think it is, Sam, before she finds out?
Oh, yeah, what's everybody want?
I think it's like... going to be like a hoodie.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah,
it sounds
I
like
do,
a
yeah.
Okay, I hope I saw this right.
Come on then, Emma.
It is
roll.
A smooth, durable, twill-woven, worsted or cotton cloth. That's what Wikipedia says. Oh, it's a fabric. Uh-huh. A garbadine is a long, loose gown or cloak with wide sleeves worn by men in the later Middle Ages in the 16th century.
But this is just making
like,
it
Wikipedia.
Sound very cult-like for
yeah.
these children.
It does sound yeah. a bit Handmaid's Tale, actually.
Do you remember this cult?
Yeah. Please do get in touch.
You were buying your garbadines from Fletcher.
As the youngest member of the podcast team this week, what caught your eye from the 1952 front page?
Well, I was quite intrigued by the arrival at the castle part of the swearing-in ceremony.
Okay.
I think this is great. They went into full description of what they were wearing when they entered.
Were they wearing gabardines?
No, well, they were wearing gold braided ceremonial court attire.
Ooh.
Yeah, and Sir Ambrose had a sword at his left side, which I find really specific, and with added colour from his many decorations.
Ooh.
All right. And then they said everybody else who was there was wearing morning dress. So obviously,
I like he likes to dress up for the occasion.
Yeah.
Do you think...
I thought that was great.
Obviously, we get a new governor next year, if my memory is correct. So I'm wondering if he's going to be wearing his gold frankincense and myrrh for the swearing-in ceremony.
I don't know. We'll have to find, I mean, I think it's due to be back down at Castle Rushing again.
Well, so. That was it. So when Sir Richard Gosney, who is our current governor, was sworn in 2016, it was the first not to take place at Castle Rushing, and actually took place at the courthouse.
That is true, yes. But then we've got Arvid Castan and Malou Extraordinaire, MHK. Jason Morris has been pushing to get it back at Castle Rushing, which it probably should, because the courthouse isn't great for pictures, is it? And it's a bit more historic.
Fun fact, where was Sir Richard Gosney's first official engagement after he became sworn in as governor?
Not here. Not in the Isle of Man.
No, Castan. They drove him all the way back down to Castan, because as we've said, that was the tradition. There you go. So that was the Mona's Herald front page from Tuesday, the 9th of September 1952. If you want to see it in all its glory, please do buy the Examiner on Tuesday, because it will be there on pages 20 and 21. Right, Katie, it's that time of the week again. Yes, a training. Now, Mutiny on the Bounty.
It's a long one today, and you're going to have to bear with me. Cause...
Sit down, draw up a chair, and maybe a copper.
Yeah. Well, basically, this is... We're doing Mutiny on the Bounty because producer Emma yesterday was like, well, what's... I actually messaged Mr. Kitchener.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what to pick for Yes a Training. I've got a bit of, like, a block. And he just texts through, like, 20 different suggestions non-stop. So I've got a lot lined up.
Okay.
But when I mentioned Mutiny on the Bounty, producer Emma was like, what's that?
Well, to be fair, I'm like that now as well.
So was Emma.
I watched the film last week.
Oh.
The,
Sex and the City 3.
No. Well, I think that's what it was subtitled, actually.
So I'm going to take...
So is it a film, yeah?
It's an event.
Oh, right, okay.
Which has made countless songs and books and 3 films in total.
And a chocolate bar.
Okay.
That was just... I don't...
But going back, so I can tell you how the Isle of Man is connected to the story of the Mutiny on the Bounty. So we go back to St. Matthew's Church in Douglas, where 3 of the key players in the story met.
Oh,
so
can I just put my hand up here?
Yes.
When was this?
So the actual event takes place in 1789.
Okay.
Just
had to clarify. St. Matthew's Church is still there, isn't it? I think so.
On
the harbour?
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got Peter Heywood, whose father was a deemster on the island at the nunnery estate in Douglas, and Heywood would be just 17 years old and on his first journey when the mutiny took place. Captain Bligh, who was actually born in Plymouth, but he lived on the Isle of Man in Onchan, where he was married to a Manx wife, Elizabeth Betham, from a big Manx family. And Elizabeth and her dad are actually buried at Onchan Graveyard. So you can visit their graves if that's what you're into. Anyway. And then Fletcher...
I'll stay out.
Well, we've got the vampire, we've got these now. And we've got Fletcher Christian, who was actually born in Cumberland, but he was part of a very... Stop. You're thinking of sausage.
I know where he was born in Cumberland.
Oh, do you?
Cockermouth.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I feel like that's something that, of course, you'd know.
Yeah.
Like, you said that, and I was like, you know what? That is such a sad fact.
I googled it after watching the film.
But he's from a very big Manx family of Christians who are based in Milltown. And, okay, so basically, they're at St. Matthew's Church, and Bligh's all, I'm getting on this boat. I'm the captain of this boat called the Bounty. And he secured positions on board for both Christian and Heywood to sail with him. So... Let's set sail for 10 months, and they've got the job of taking breadfruit seedlings from Tahiti to the West Indies. Yes, I've googled this.
Okay.
And they look like small little like spiky lemons or limes, but they were taking seedlings to the West Indies because they were going to be planted there as a source of food for slaves. And so they took 10 months to sail to Tahiti. And then they spent half a year on Tahiti before setting off on the rest of their journey.
But if you ever Google Tahiti, it's so pretty.
I've been.
Well,
you have not.
Yeah.
That's why.
My past life, Andy was PA. Was...
I'm so jealous.
See, this is why. This is where things really start to go wrong, because they were loving life on Tahiti.
I bet they were.
It was an absolute paradise. They had great weather. They loved being there.
I found it quite windy.
The women were very friendly with them. So
like 10 out of 10 holiday.
Exactly. They were loving it. Very much didn't want to leave. And
it sounds a bit lads, doesn't it?
It does. And it was also extra hard to leave because none of them actually liked Captain Bligh.
To be fair, in the film, Mel Gibson definitely enjoyed himself.
Just wait. You wait a second. I'm going through casting after.
Sorry.
But so they set sail again. There's no specific certain cause to the mutiny other than the harsh and brutal treatment that they said they suffered under Captain Bligh. It is later been kind of investigated if he actually had Tourette's, because there's a lot of situations where he would verbally address people in public and be very aggressive, sweary, and even inappropriate for those days.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been looked into about whether he was actually a sufferer of an illness rather than just a very unpersonable captain. So they're dealing with it not very well on the boat. They're missing Tahiti. They don't like Bligh. And they start to feel a bit mutinous, especially Fletcher Christian. He's very much not wanting to be there anymore. So in April 1789, the mutiny took place where the band led by Fletcher Christian and 25 others on board put Captain Bligh and 18 loyal crew members in a boat and set it adrift to the middle of the Pacific. And Bligh, who was a terrible leader, but actually a brilliant seaman, he essentially was handed a death sentence, but managed a journey of about 3,600 miles on the open sea in an overcrowded boat. And, oh, by the way, Sam, I have a question from Mr. Kitchener, because he said that at the Manx Arms, there's a map on the wall, or there was a map on the wall, that actually shows Captain Bligh's journey and the journey the boat made through the Pacific.
Do you know what? I think it is. It's on the far side of the lounge bar down opposite the bar. As you go in, it's on the right, I believe, where the raised tables are.
Again, that's another Sam fact. Yeah. I feel like only he would know.
Because as far as like naval history and things go, this is such a massive journey that was undertaken. And they survived by rationing a little bit of bread and some wine.
And it was recreated by that ant fella from SAS, wasn't it? The one that didn't actually believe in COVID initially, and then was like, go outside, it's fine, and then they had to go, oh, no, actually don't. A video on Instagram. And Middleton, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I know the one.
He then recreated, SAS,
yeah, he recreated the journey for a documentary on Channel 4.
Surprised it wasn't like Ben, what's his face?
Fogel.
Yeah, him.
No, he nearly froze to death in Castletown Harbour. He wouldn't be getting around there.
One of the many, Sam. Right.
In 1790, the Bounty, manned by anyone not loyal to Captain Bligh, apparently, arrived at Pitcairn in the South Pacific. Now, those who remained on Pitcairn remained free men and formed a colony led by one of the mutineers, John Adams. And according to Adams, Fletcher Christian and many more of the men died from onboard trouble and sickness. However, it is believed that Fletcher did reach Pitcairn and would go on to marry the daughter of a chief and have many children. Because there are also sources that say there's a lot of Manx descendants on these islands now.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the men were loving their Tahiti life so much that they returned to Tahiti when the HMS Pandora was sent out to find the mutineers. So they obviously went straight to Tahiti. 10 were discovered and brought back to England, and 3 would eventually be hanged. Some more actually died in a shipwreck because the HMS Pandora did not have an easy journey. But with our three Manx connections, Bligh would later go on to become the governor of New South Wales and Australia.
Oh.
And the man went on to be victim of at least one other rebellion, the Rum Rebellion, because he was not a fan of importing rum.
How else did he want to get his rum?
I don't know. I don't know if he does sound like the man from
Book. He sounds like he had a knack for running things, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he went back to England eventually, where he was made an admiral. And even though films will portray him as being quite nasty and cruel, he's still one of like the most well-known naval men of all time. And then Fletcher Christian, he's basically immortalised by Hollywood films as being this charismatic rebel. And in the three films that have been made, he's been played by Errol Flynn, Marlon Brando and Mel Gibson.
No, as in Mel Gibson, as in Braveheart, like,
you yeah, take off yeah, but back earlier Mel Gibson yeah. before The Troubles.
The Troubles.
Yeah. So,
delicately put, Katie.
And Peter Haywood was taken from Tahiti by HMS Pandora back to England in iron chains, even though he had been relieved to have been rescued and he'd given himself up. And apparently the treatment of the mutineers on board going back was so bad that Haywood was actually lucky to make it back. When he got back, he was court-martialed and sentenced to hang, but King George III pardoned him, due in part to his sister Nessie and her endless campaigning for him. But also, the Christian family spoke so badly of Bligh that they had to really... They painted this picture of this monster and thought, was it really that bad, what they did? And also, he was from quite a wealthy family.
Right.
Do you reckon they paid him off?
His dad was a Deemster.
Mm.
The people who did go on to be hanged weren't quite as wealthy as him.
Right.
And Haywood would eventually go on have a super successful career in the Navy. And I think he was made a captain by the time he was 27. Which,
that's pretty good.
That's going. 10 years since yeah. his first sailing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And apparently this was a quote from Bligh when he was testifying against Haywood and Christian. He said, "I curse the day I ever came to know a Manx man."
Oh.
Woohoo.
Many people have said that about me, actually. Yeah. That's very interesting, Katie. I feel we could have serialised that as a... you know, you could have done by journey, you know, but
should have done by journey.
Tahiti, yeah, Tahiti was very windy.
Was that the honeymoon?
Yeah, we went to Bora Bora, but it's sort of like you have to go through Tahiti.
Yeah, such a chore.
It was. You know.
I really like the airport code for Tahiti.
That's a sound fact. What is it?
It's FAA, so it's FAA apostrophe A. I think it's great.
Did you know that sound?
I didn't.
Oh. Well, there you go.
That's because it's an Emma fact.
Emma fact. There you go.
It's quite a lot of them.
Right, well, that was very good. I'm interested to see where Mr. Kitchener is pointing us next week. I'm quite intrigued.
A few directions.
A few. Well, that's the name of the game of yesterday.
If you're not careful, cast him out in an open boat.
Sam, where did you watch the film? Is it streaming on somewhere at the moment? Oh.
It's on Netflix.
Is it?
Which one? The Mel Gibson one.
The Mel Gibson one. Loads of people are in it, though.
Who else is in it?
Well, you got.
Who plays Peter Haywood?
Peter Haywood, oh, I don't know who plays him. Neil Morris is in it, though.
Off of Men Behaving Badly?
Yeah. And Hannibal Lecter plays Bligh.
Hannibal Lecter.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins plays Bligh.
Oh.
When was it made?
Liam Neeson's in it.
Oh, really?
Is it yeah. Is it taken in a boat?
No, it's young Neeson, like, proper young. There's loads of people who are in it. Do you remember the guy who was the headmaster in... oh, what was the one?
Demon Headmaster. Road? Oh.
In what, sorry?
Waterloo Road. Was the headmaster? The old guy.
I think I know.
Proper evil one, and there's loads of people in it who you then go, they're in this. There's like loads of actors who are randomly in this, and then
I never knew Neil Morrissey and Mel Gibson made a film together.
No. What's his face? The young,
that's a fact.
Daniel Day-Lewis, a young Daniel yeah. Day-Lewis.
So
stop.
If you later on this evening you're Netflixing and chilling, this is the film to watch, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we've given you the spoilers. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
I'm interested to see how Gibson plays it though.
Interesting.
Does he have a Manx accent?
No, the way they phrase it is that they met at like a drinking contest.
Oh,
it's a bit
the food and farm the food festival.
Yeah, they were
the
there.
Drink festival.
Christian was there going, Perkins is going to make the best baker last year. And Bligh's going, don't be stupid, man. And that's actually what set it off.
I knew it.
And it was the start of a beautiful story.
Right, that's about it for this week. Sam, what's coming up next week?
Loads. We've got stuff on the cruise industry. We've got the next present, Timbald, maybe.
Yeah,
we've got loads of stuff. Properties. Oh, there's so many things. And electrical charging points.
And if you like your history, there's a article by the people that do our Building at Risk articles about schools in Ramsey. Now you're thinking there was only one, two,
three. I knew there was a Catholic school in Ramsey.
There is a Catholic. There was a Catholic school. There was another couple as well. So
da-da.
Please get the examiner next week to find out if that's floats your boat.
Are they being changed into Wetherspoons?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Are they being changed into Greggs?
No. Oh God, imagine.
Don't say anything bad about Greggs.
Much in the world of distribution?
Probably a lot because producer Emma is leaving.
Oh yes, so yes, yeah. Okay, yeah. It'll be all hands to death next week. We might only get Katie for 5 minutes.
There might be a mutiny.
There might be a mutiny.
The mutiny on the sales desk.
Emma, now it's been a pleasure having you in for the last couple of weeks.
Thank you.
I hope you will continue to listen to us when you go back to university in Portsmouth.
Absolutely. I'll force all my friends to listen to it as well.
Good.
Yes,
they
please
don't
do.
Even have to listen. Just press play. That's all. That
make sure they download it individually. Don't sit and listen to it.
we'll get it on all of our phones and then play it together.
That'll do.
Yeah, fantastic. Right, until next week.
Bye for now.